you, Amy Goodman in Democracy Now, and Juan Gonzalez and that entire team of hers that have been doing it for over 20 minutes. Please take a moment and show your support for Democracy Now! And KBOO and call us at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
Or you can come on down to KBOO. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. If you feel like, hey, I want to see where all of this is happening, you know, and I want to come and give my membership by hand, come on down, come visit us. You know, because we've even had Amy Goodman has visited us before, you know, so feel the presence. Feel the presence. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, because this is the kind of programming that you appreciate. You want to hear more of Democracy Now. Maybe you're one of the people who tune in twice a day because you want to feel so informed. Who knows? But you appreciate it. 877-500-5266. Remember, it is you. It is you who puts Democracy Now! On the air. So you believe in that, or go to kboo.fm. Coming up next is your KBOO Evening News.
We're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Musubi, located at 2134 Southeast Division Street, Portland's takeout spot for Hawaiian sushi rice snacks filled with homemade spam and other delicacies. Dinner was provided by B-Saw, located at 1545 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland, serving American comfort food and weekend brunch. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on an hour-long membership drive of the KBOO Evening News, we'll look at the role of hedge funds and other financial actors in the stumbling response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
The president is expected to make a major address on federal deregulation on Monday.
And we'll have an in-depth discussion with members of Sisters of the Road about the war of words over a proposed shelter in Old Town Chinatown.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, September 28th, 2017. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Tom.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. A protest is going on right now at the Portland International Airport. Union and labor activists are there to give President Trump's former labor secretary nominee, Andy Pudser, a hearty Portland welcome on his way to a right-wing think tank conference. We have more in conjunction with the Oregon News Service. Protesters are greeting President Trump's former labor secretary nominee, Andy Pudser, today as he attends a fundraiser for a group determined to break up unions in the Northwest. The Freedom Foundation, a libertarian think tank, is holding its meeting at the Portland Airport Sheraton Hotel. Peter Starzynski is head of the Northwest Accountability Project, which is leading the protest. He says Pudser's records on workers' rights as former head of CKE Restaurants, which owns Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, is poor, and complaints this year from employees of those restaurants bear that out.
There have been 22 complaints of wage theft with the U.S. Department of Labor and 4 sexual harassment claims. So this is who the Freedom Foundation is palling around with. This is who the Freedom Foundation brought in to keynote their annual fundraiser. And I think it says a lot about who the Freedom Foundation is.
The CKE Restaurants denies these allegations. Putzer stepped down as a nominee for Labor Secretary after allegations of domestic abuse from his ex-wife were made public. In Oregon and Washington, the Freedom Foundation has urged union members not to pay dues. In the past, it has obtained personal information on members in order to solicit them not to pay. The protest has already begun at 5 p.m. tonight. Starzynski says the Freedom Foundation's claims that it is succeeding in busting Northwest unions isn't true. He says the protest today will show the support unions have in Oregon.
The purpose of the Freedom Foundation is to create division. I think what the protest will do is it will unite everybody in this effort to fight against these well-funded attacks from the Koch brothers.
Northwest Accountability Project is also urging Sheraton to cancel its agreement with Freedom Foundation to host the event, as well as another event at the Westin in Bellevue, Washington. In conjunction with the Oregon News Service and KBOO Evening News, I'm Grace Ann Smith.
Oregon Secretary of State Dennis Richardson is in a few different kinds of hot water lately. Yesterday, the former 12-year Republican state lawmaker told Oregon Public Broadcasting that he believes homosexuality is, quote, immoral. He stated that just because a government condones it and voters formally legalize same-sex marriage in Oregon, that does not, quote, change the definition with God, end quote. Despite the implications of ungodliness and eternal damnation, Richardson added the caveat that he has never treated a gay or lesbian person with disrespect. The comment drew a sharp rebuke from his predecessor as Secretary of State, Gene Atkins. Atkins, currently the chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon, said the comment could be harmful to LGBTQIA plus youth. She also pointed out that in a state where LGBTQIA plus lifestyles are widely accepted and legally protected, such comments call into question Richardson's fitness for the state's second highest office. The comments come on the heels of a growing controversy surrounding Richardson's upcoming trade mission to China. The trip is being partially funded by government subsidies in China, a highly unusual and possibly unethical way to fund such trips.
According to a local station, KPTV, a local elementary school, Menlo Park, in northeast Portland has been a recent victim in racially motivated graffiti. The school, known for its diversity, was found to have been egged on several different sides and then covered in racially motivated graffiti. A porta potty used by the soccer team after school hours was also torched to the ground. The custodian found the graffiti earlier this morning and they were able to remove most of it before school started for the day. No one is sure when these crimes took place or who perpetrated them.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Jenna and Ray to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you, Tom. This is Ray, and I'm here with Jenna.
Hi.
And we want to welcome you back to the last few hours of the KBOO Fall Membership Drive. And we'll start out with the important information, and that's please call at 877-500-5266. That's, again, let me repeat that, 877-500-5266. And, you know, it's worth pointing out, Jenna, that the news that's broadcast every night here is produced entirely by volunteers.
And I know. It's an amazing effort every night.
When you think about it, they come in here, they write the news, mm-hmm. they anchor the news, they anchor the board. This is a total volunteer effort.
Yeah.
And your dollars help keep this station on the air so that the KBOO evening news can come to you complete and unfiltered, not like commercial radio.
That's right. So if you appreciate, which you do appreciate because you're listening right now, if you appreciate all the effort that goes into, you know, the KBOO Evening News, become a member today. Call 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. 6-6. And don't forget, if you become a member today, then you'll be entered into our daily drawing. And today's drawing is a prize package you can share with your friends with 5 punch cards from Game Night Lounge, a $50 gift certificate, a tasting experience for 4 people, and more from New Deal Distillery, 4 passes for movies and snacks from the Hollywood Theater, and a $25 gift certificate to Pacific Pie. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go on to our website, kboo.fm, for rules and restrictions.
And for those of you who have had an opportunity to visit us here at the station, please feel free to come down.
Yeah,
there's plenty of time to make a donation in person and become a member live. And even after the membership drive closes, you're welcome to come by anytime, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday during business hours, and we'd be delighted to show you where your support goes and how your money is spent.
Come watch the Cable Evening News. You can watch it happening live every Monday through Friday.
And then they can be part of it. So please take this opportunity. Call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. And now back to your news.
Know Your City is a local organization dedicated to, you guessed it, knowing your city. But the group is much more than your typical information booth. Know Your City publishes the Oregon History Books and is also hosting a youth panel. KBOO's Zelos Marchand spoke with Lydia Grijalva to find out more.
Interim Director of Know Your City, Lydia Grijalva, on the line here to talk about Know Your City's youth event coming up. How are you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm good. So tell our audience what KYC is up to. I hear there's a panel happening for youth.
Yeah, so a lot of people know Your City for our tourist programming, as well as our Oregon History comics. And we're one of the only, we're the only nonprofit still who does tours in Portland, the only tour company that is also a nonprofit. And a lot of people know that when you come to our events on the weekends, when you come to tours, your ticket is actually sponsoring our youth programming, but a lot of people haven't had a chance to really interact with it and learn about what that means. So some of our interns over the summer who helped to create the content decided to have a youth panel. And it's going to be pretty chill. We're going to have questions and answers. We're going to have ice cream. And basically, we just want to give the community a chance to come learn more about what we do. A couple of our really good projects are, we have children's books, we have a book written by youth at Roosevelt High School that actually talks about them learning about the law and what their rights are, and it was intended to teach other students. We have comic books coming out as well, so this is a good time for people to learn more about what our youth are doing.
That's wonderful. You know, I have a collection of the history books. I somehow never put two and two together. Like, I know it said the Know Your City stamp is on there, but I just thought, I don't know, that was a different publishing group. That is so great. So does the...
That happened to me too.
Okay. That's a really fantastic. They're one of my favorite... I love history, and that's one of my favorite collections. So do the youth have... Do they get to have a say over, like, what kind of history books are published then? When it, you know, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so one of the reasons that the youth are really excited about this event, I mean, you have an Oregon History Comics box set, so you'll know what I mean when I say we're putting together another box set that's actually written by youth, and it'll be covering different issues that are relevant. We talk about racism in Portland. We talk about LGBTQ identities. One of the books is actually just called Interview with My Gay Choir. And yeah, it's great. We also talk about, there's one of the youth talks about their experience in foster care and some things that they'd like people to know. So we're kind of covering all different the stories that aren't often told. One of the biggest things that, so for example, for our children's books, the issue that we're running into, I know I ran into this in school as well, is like, it's really hard to get stoked about history, mm-hmm. when your culture and your history aren't reflected. And the same thing goes for early literacy. We know that young children, if there aren't stories that they feel like they can connect to, then they're less likely to care about reading. So since only 10% of children's books are written by people of color, last summer we had a group of diverse writers tell stories that they wish that they had when they were kids. So now we not only are, you know, you can see our magazines, which is our during the year program, and that's where we kind of talk about all sorts of stuff. And we'll be talking about how you can get a subscription to those. And then we also have the children's books, which tackle early literacy, and then a Youth in the Law comic book, which is, yeah, by and for youth. So.
That is fantastic. That is so fantastic. So say again when the next books might be out.
Yeah, so that's actually what we're going to talk about today. We're really fortunate that, like, as people are really aware, a lot's happened over the last year. And the way that we've started processing this information together is to, like, tell our stories. And we did this through making a whole lot of books. And one of the things that we really need community help with right now is to actually get these books out into the world. So there is one book that we're going to be doing pre-sales for tonight. And we're going to talk about how people from the community can support us in getting these books printed. Because, yeah, we have like easily a year's worth of content for folks, and we're really excited to share it. So,
great. Yeah. So before we forget, tell everybody out there in KBOO land where the event is, when, all that good stuff.
Right. So the event is tonight, and doors open at 6:30. And you can find the Facebook event if you just go to the Know Your City Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at Beach Elementary School, and it's going to be inside of the library. So that's the best place. The Facebook has all the information. And we have a poll up right now. So if you really like a certain ice cream flavor, let us know soon, because we're about to go get the ice cream, and you can still weigh in.
That's great. So I understand there might be a ticket giveaway to this event. Is that true? Okay.
Oh, it's so true. The rumors are true. So we are going to be giving away 2 tickets for tonight. And the way to enter is to go ahead and just go onto our Facebook page, give us a like, and send us a message after you've shared our event. So go ahead and go on, share our event, and like our page, and then you can... just send us a message, let us know you heard about it on KBOO, and then you'll be entered to win. We'll be announcing that at 5 o'clock.
Cool. And that's the Know Your City Facebook page, right?
Right, correct.
Okay. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd love everyone to know about Know Your City?
Oh, man, there's so many things to know about Know Your City. But the best way to learn more is, yeah, just like us on Facebook. Feel free to, like, check out our tours. We have our tours posted for this weekend. We have a coffee and social change tour. That's this Saturday. We have Carlos the Rollerblader will be doing PDX 101 for us on Sunday. So if you're interested in any of those and interested in the event, you can just check us out on Facebook.
That is so, so wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, Lydia, thank you so much for taking time and coming on KBOO, and have a great event tonight.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Hope to see you all there.
This is Zelos Marchant for KBOO News.
We'd like to make a small correction. The ticket giveaway that Lydia from Know Your City was talking about is happening at 6 p.m. instead of 5 p.m.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Ray and Jenna to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Howdy, howdy. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio. We're on the last day of our fall drive, and you're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Maybe I'm a little biased. It's one of my favorite shows on KBOO, but if you're a regular listener, you know that me and Ray, who I got here next to me, are producers for the KBOO Evening News, and we've both been on mic as anchors and sat at the board. You know, we're fully involved, and we're big fans of it. So if you're a fan, just like we are, give us a call, 877 877- 800-500-5266.
And Jenna, I think you raise a key point. It's an opportunity to really know what's going on in your neighborhood, to get involved in your community, to make sure that your fellow citizens are informed on the important mm-hmm. things that are happening, and some of which are happening behind the scenes. You know, KBOO is the only station in town that would spend 7 minutes talking to your city connection and giving you that detailed information. And Grace Ann and Tom work hard putting that story together. So this is your opportunity to show how much you appreciate the effort of these volunteers. And an interesting statistic, Jenna, you know, fewer than 10% of our listeners are actually active subscribers to the station. I know. And when you think about what the cost of a subscription to, say, Hulu or Netflix is, and how many hours a day you may spend listening to KBOO, it seems a shame that more don't take the opportunity to show that commitment and give a call at 877-500-5266 and make a sustaining membership commitment. You can put it on to your credit card. Say for $25 a month, you could get the highly fashionable KBOO hoodie. And we are heading into that time of the year where the hoodie is the thing that everybody needs. And the KBOO hoodie has the star and the tower. And for just $25 a month, it can be yours.
That's right. And remember, if you become a member today, then you get entered into our daily drawing. And today's drawing is a prize package you can share with your friends. It comes with 5 punch cards from Game Night Lounge and a $50 gift certificate for a tasting experience for 4 people and more from New Deal Distillery, 4 passes for movies and snacks from Hollywood Theater, and a $25 gift certificate to Pacific Pie. So give us a call at 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions on the drawing.
You know, and as long as we're sharing a few fun facts about KBOO, you know, just the transmitter and the transmitter tower cost the station $60,000 a year. Fancy. And, you know, it's kind of hard to understand where that comes from. But, you know, I look at it this way, Jenna. We have a 26,000-watt transmitter. Mm-hmm. Imagine what it would cost to keep 2,600 100-watt light bulbs running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And that's just one of the kind of fixed costs that we deal with here at the station. We're happy to do it, but we depend on you, the listeners, to make sure that we can continue to deliver the news, the public affairs programming, and the music, the tremendous variety of music that you've come to love. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, or click on kboo.fm and hit the donate button.
And we have a goal of $400 this hour, and we'd like to thank the people who help us getting there. We have Summer, woohoo, from Estacada, and Karen from Southeast Portland. And that membership from Karen is dedicated to Dr. Arnold James Madsen. And we also have Jenna, good name, Jenna from Vancouver, and Gary. Thank you so much for calling in and becoming a member of KBOO today. Join them, 877-500-5266. You know, people call in to KBOO and become members because they appreciate what it is that the KBOO Evening News is. You know, KBOO Evening News is a alternative to all the other news cycles that you hear out there. You know, we know that you have a choice. There are other ways you can get your news. But you tune into KBOO because this is the kind of news you want to hear. You want to hear local news. You're going to hear stories that you don't hear anywhere else on the local news. You want to hear perspectives that you've never heard before. And you want to hear voices from within KBOO, you know, voices from within our communities, voices just, I don't know, just all these different perspectives that you know you're not going to get on a commercial radio station. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266.
And I mentioned that $25 a month sustaining membership to get yourself a KBOO hoodie and really demonstrate to your friends, neighbors, and your community that you support free and independent community radio. Mm-hmm. But it's also important that you realize that for that $300 annual sum that $25 a month adds up to, that here's what you could be buying for that $300 membership. guides one new KBOO volunteer through the orientation process. And I remember a couple of years ago when I went through the process, all the time and energy that Ani and the other volunteers and other staffers here put into making sure that I could be a contributor at KBOO. So this is your chance to show the support. Please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Rose City Native Radio at 6. Tomorrow's weather here in Portland, there's a 90% chance of rain with a high of around 67 degrees. East of the Cascades in Hood River, there'll be a 40% chance of rain with a high of around 67. Today in history, in 1871, the Brazilian Parliament passed the Law of the Free Womb, which stated that any child born to a slave was born free. The quote of the day is from Learned Hand, quote, "A society in which men recognize no check on their freedom soon becomes a society where freedom is the possession of only a savage few."
On Monday, the president will deliver a speech on deregulation. Whether it will be a serious policy proposal or another collection of applause points is anyone's guess, but the president's favorable view of deregulation is no secret. His administration has focused on dismantling protections put in place by the Obama administration especially. Many of the few bills signed into law since January have in fact been reversals of Obama-era policies enacted via the Congressional Review Act. For more on deregulation and the possible impact of Monday's speech, KBOO reporter Sam Bowman spoke with Amit Narang, the regulatory policy advocate with the D.C.-based consumer watchdog group Public Citizen. A longer version of this interview, including discussions of the motives for deregulation and the use of the Congressional Review Act, can be found at kboo.fm/eveningnews.
Amit, thank you very much for talking with me today. So coming up on Monday, the president is going to be giving an address regarding deregulation. And can you just give me briefly a little background on how his administration has been approaching deregulation so far?
Well, they've been approaching it very aggressively and, if you ask me, quite recklessly in terms of not only getting rid of, common sense regulatory protections in almost every area imaginable, but also running roughshod over the process that our government agencies are supposed to use when taking these actions and running roughshod over legal requirements that are there, frankly, to hold government agencies accountable when they are cutting corners, as many of the Trump administration agencies are doing, in their quest to deregulate.
What do you see this address on Monday addressing? Do you think that it's going to set more of a solid course, or is it just, do you think it'll just be an opportunity for Trump to do what he does best?
Well, it's sometimes hard to predict really what a Trump speech is going to end up looking like. But I do expect him to claim that regulations cost the economy and cite what are completely debunked, essentially alternative facts when making that case. He'll probably say that, his killing of public health and safety regulations has saved the economy X billion dollars of, in to our economy, that should be really not believed at all. I mean, frankly, that should be more than viewed with a grain of skepticism. I think he's also going to make the case that this helps average Americans. The truth is the exact opposite. He is basically taking away critical protections when it comes to workplace safety, consumer product safety, the environment, food safety. He is letting Wall Street basically go back to regulating itself. He is going after net neutrality. Really, you know, any kind of major policy initiative has been badly needed for the public that was put in place over the last 8 years, I think Trump is trying to undo. And frankly, you know, the only winners of this historically intense deregulatory agenda are the corporate special interests that were fighting these common sense regulations tooth and nail over the last 8 years.
Well, and I feel like sort of the barroom conversation version of deregulation is that it's a question of economic benefits versus safety and, you know, the environment and morals and all that. But a public citizen, among many others, have made arguments that regulation is, in fact, good for the economy, if not better for the economy, than deregulation is. Can you elucidate that argument a little bit?
So that's absolutely right, and it is disappointing that the issue so often gets broken down into safety and health versus the economy, because definitely the truth is that we can be healthy, safe, have strong public health and safety regulations, strong Wall Street regulations, and have a healthy economy. Now, let's take Wall Street, for example. A lack of regulation of Wall Street was absolutely the reason for the Wall Street crash in 2008. And so that is a clear example of how having regulations in place actually saves the economy, essentially, and prevents the kind of economic catastrophes that we saw with a deregulated Wall Street. But there are so many examples of regulations, preventing disasters, preventing harms that cost individuals and our collective economy dearly. A good example, for example, to take just one example, the Clean Power Plan. You know, public citizen. A lot of folks think that having our carbon emission regulations in place to try to clean up our air, but also address climate change, will lead to increase in electricity prices. But when public citizen took a look, we saw that actually the energy efficiency requirements that are built into the Clean Power Plan would end up saving consumers money in the long run rather than costing consumers money. So regulation forces industry often to adopt new technologies that save consumers money and that make their own processes more efficient.
All right. I've been speaking with Amit Narang with the consumer watchdog group Public Citizen in Washington, D.C. Amit, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman.
Now's your chance to support the work our letters, our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Jenna and Ray to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
That's right. The KBOO Evening News comes to you, rain or shine. So, you know, I was just actually thinking about this kind of funny. When you said the rain or shine, I thought about how we had that big snow this last year.
And we still brought the news
out. We still brought the news to you. When the whole city shut down, literally when other newscasts had shut down because the city shut down because of ice, Ray was here. Ray was here. I was here, you know, with a few volunteers that could actually manage to walk over to the station, made sure that the news happened. And we brought you the updates. We brought you our local updates about what it was to be frozen into your city and what was going on with transportation. You know, KABU was one of the few places you could get that information because of dedicated volunteers. So you appreciate that. Become a member of KABU today. Show the kind of... Show yourself what kind of programming you believe in. 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266.
And Jenna, let me next take a moment and say thank you to Mike from Southeast Portland for just calling in to renew it. We appreciate it. And this is the opportunity for all the listeners to take a moment, give a call. Again, that number, 877-500-5266. And, you know, there are other reasons to do this. Today's prize drawing is just tremendous. Oh, it is a package of goodies, and that's the only way to describe it, worth over $400 that includes 5 punch cards from Game Night Lounge, a $50 gift certificate, and tasting experience for 4 people and more from New Deal Distillery. 4 passes for movies and snacks from the Hollywood Theater, mm-hmm. which is a great theater, by the way, and a $25 gift certificate from Pacific Pie.
Pie, indeed. Revealed my love for pie there.
So this has got to be quite an incentive. Not only are you supporting your community radio station, but you're entering for an opportunity for a great prize. So please give a call now at 877-500-5266 or go to KBOO.FM and click on donate, or use your iPhone or iPad smart KBOO app and click on the donate button there on the home screen.
So easy to become a member. And you know, it's just as low as $5 a month to become a member. That's $60 a year. And so we invite you, if you are, you know, enjoying what you're hearing, you know, maybe not always enjoy necessarily the news, but I know you definitely appreciate, you appreciate what you're hearing. You're appreciating those local interviews. You appreciate hearing that type, I don't know, of in-depth discussion coming to you every single day. Become a member. 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. Become a member of KABU today. Now back to your KABU Evening News.
Nearly all of Puerto Rican citizens are without water, with nearly half with no clean drinking water. Because of Hurricane Maria, only 11 out of 69 hospitals on the island have power, and not nearly as much aid has been given to help compared to Harvey or Irma. Those who have evacuated at the right time also face tough decisions. President Donald Trump had previously required evacuating Puerto Ricans to pay the government the cost of transportation. The administration had forced evacuees to sign promissory notes before leaving the island, which would make the person who signed the note have to pay. A State Department official is also requiring to hold an evacuee's passport until he or she pays off the note. Payments could not be received right away because of ongoing emergencies. After much criticism and voiced protest for the Jones Act, Trump finally waived it after Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossello petitioned the White House for a temporary waiver. Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced on Twitter about the waiver, saying it will, quote, go into effect immediately, end quote. Now ships who were previously unable to send aid due to the Jones Act are able to push through to Puerto Rico, and they possibly carry nearly 5 million tons of supplies.
There are many barriers facing the relief efforts in what is a growing humanitarian crisis in Puerto Rico. One of these, which the president was quick to point out, is their already huge debt crisis. Much of Puerto Rico's debt is already owned by American hedge funds on Wall Street. One of these hedge funds, in particular, owns the debt of the Puerto Rico Power Authority, also known as PREPA. PREPA, which has already suffered cutbacks that have affected an already outdated power grid, had its death knell handed to it by Hurricane Maria, and has now left most of the country in darkness for what could be up to 6 months. The hedge fund has offered PREPA a loan of $1 billion and to cancel up to $150 million of pre-existing debt of their existing $9 billion of debt. This new loan would not have to have any payments made for 2 years and would be classified as a priority debt or DIP loan and get to jump the line of many creditors when the 2 years are up. Before Hurricane Maria hit, PREPA was in need of $4 billion to update their system on top of the $9 billion that they already owed.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Isabel Cochran and Grace Ann Smith. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Ben Shiragi. The KBOO Evening News director is Zelos Marchand. And the Evening Public Affairs director was Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath, on translator K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM, translator K220HR. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Tom. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting, Ani and Lynn welcome your calls. At 9, Sojourner Truth examines the details of Trump's tax plan, plus reports from the U.S. Virgin Islands devastated by Hurricanes Maria and Irma. At 10, Threshold Shift explores ultrasonic recordings from the Panamanian rainforest. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Mr. Jones' Neighborhood talks to Sam Mowry of the Willamette Radio Workshop about the reimagined production of Laugh Your Dial Off. KBOO is your independent source for news and entertainment. Become a member. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
There has been a proposed new shelter of 200 beds in Old Town Chinatown. From this, there has been some pushback from the Neighborhood Association, who... Oh, pardon me.
Hey, what's up? Looks like we had...
I guess that was our cue.
That's our cue, so there we go.
And here I was sitting and petting the dog instead of paying attention. That'll teach me.
Well, there you go. Well, in case you're like, what's going on right now? You're listening to the Fall Membership Drive here on KBOO. It's the KBOO Evening News. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. And if you're curious about what Ray is talking about there, one thing we love here at KBOO is that we are truly a community, which also includes station dogs. And we have a little station dog who is helping us pitch down here because he enjoys the KBOO Evening News. I'm sure if he could, he would say, woof, I would become a member of today. Call 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266.
And it is a community radio station. It's a community of volunteers. It's a community with a small but dedicated staff. And it's a community of listeners who keep this station on the air and keep bringing this tremendous programming, news, public affairs, and music, and the world's greatest, widest variety of music that you're ever going to hear. And it all counts on and depends on you, the listener, to keep us on the air, to keep us bringing you this great programming. So please take this opportunity, give us a call, 877-500-5266. It's been a pretty good membership drive so far, Jenna.
There's
4 hours and 18 minutes and 15 seconds left for you folks out there who've been kind of procrastinating. This is your chance to join your fellow KBOO members and give us a call. Again, that number is 877-500-5266, or you can go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. Or for you smartphone, iPad users, the KBOO app will on the landing screen will give you the opportunity to connect via that donate button. Whatever works for you, please take this opportunity to reach out.
And you know, we have a goal of $400 this hour that we still have to meet. And so I'm gonna put it out there again to someone who can maybe come in at that $20 a month. That's $240 a year. But if that one special person call in, that would help us meet our goal for this hour. And you know, another reason why you should call in when you're thinking about, oh, I really like the Cape Evening News tonight. I really appreciate the evening news because it's such an example of what makes the KBOO Evening News so important. You know, the KBOO Evening News is one of the few places you can hear really, I'm going to call it super ultra local news, right? We have interviews from people within communities that you aren't hearing from on any other news station. You're hearing stories and perspectives that you aren't going to get anywhere else because, you know, the mainstream media and the mainstream news, they are beholden to, well, They're commercial advertisers. They're not beholden to their actual listeners or their viewers, you know, but we are beholden to you. And so we bring you the kind of stories that we know affect you and that you want to be learning more about. So you appreciate that. You appreciate your ultra local news perspective. Give us a call to support that. 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm.
And for nearly 50 years, KBOO has been supporting the community with original programming produced by the staff. If you think about it, the number I have here is that 7,500 hours of original programming a year are produced by the volunteers and the staff here at KBOO. Mm-hmm. And to keep things in perspective, that's 312 days of original programming that's coming from your community radio station, which is a pretty amazing feat when you think about it, Jenna. It's volunteers putting in their time, their energy, their talents, and they need your help to be able to continue to provide this programming. This is your opportunity to show your support for all of the music and news and public affairs folks that give so much time to the station so that you are informed and entertained. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
You know, you heard a little preview of what's coming up next. Coming up next is News in Depth, which is going to have an interview with Sisters of the Road. And as they're talking about what's going on there in Chinatown, and you know, one thing I really appreciated about becoming a KBOO volunteer and I first went into the newsroom was the News in Depth. I was so amazed about how KBOO was dedicated to giving time to people from the community to talk about all these different issues that you really weren't hearing from anywhere else. They were giving so much time and so much platform to underserved communities to give that kind of perspective that you never, ever get to hear anywhere else. You know, KBOO, I mean, a 15-minute interview is something that's apparently, I don't know, very unusual on the news anymore, where we take the time to actually listen to people and talk to people and get that in-depth story. So I appreciate every single day we have these News in Depths. You appreciate that. You appreciate what's coming up next. Who doesn't want to hear from Sisters of the Road and to hear everything they have to say about what's going on in the Chinatown, Japantown area? So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, we'll do a little slower. Do it with me, Ray.
877-500-5266
or go online to kboo.fm. Become a member of KBOO now.
There has been a proposed new shelter of 200 beds in Old Town Chinatown that has received some pushback from the Neighborhood Association, who are against the new shelter. We have speaking with us Shannon Kogan, the Community Engagement Manager at Sisters of the Road, who are rallying for support for the new shelter. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And could you tell us a little bit about Sisters of the Road?
Sure. Sisters is on the corner of Northwest 6th and Davis, and we have been in the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood since 1979. And we are first and foremost a community space, so anybody can walk in and hang out and have a cup of coffee at Sisters. They can also get a nourishing meal for $1.25 in exchange for labor in the cafe, helping to barter work and run the cafe. And we also do organizing with our community around the Homeless Bill of Rights, so that people who are sleeping outside or without shelter are getting the same things that people in housing get too.
Shannon, welcome to KBOO. You are titled the Community Engagement Manager, is that right?
That is correct.
How do you engage the community? What do you do? What's your job like?
So I do, as most people at nonprofits, I wear a number of hats. So I coordinate our volunteers and I do outreach. And so I think about community engagement. I'm talking about our community within the cafe, the folks that are coming in and those people being volunteers, and also going out into the community and talking to Portlanders about what's going on at Sisters and with houseless people.
What made you want to be a community engagement manager? How did you get prepared for that?
Well, I was volunteering at Sisters first, and I started out working in the cafe and on our food justice programming, getting to know people, building relationships within the cafe, and I really like talking to people who are interested in learning more about Sisters and what we do, or excited to plug their skills into what we're already doing. So I think it's a really energizing position.
And can you tell us a little bit about the shelter that was proposed at Northwest Hoyt and Third, and what was the public reaction like?
Yeah, so there was a shelter proposed by the county, the city, and the joint office to go at Third and Hoyt for 200 people. And there were a series of community forums held on September 6th, and there were invites sent out via email for people to attend, and you really need to be somehow connected to the community association in order to find out about the meeting. And the reason the meetings were happening was because at the board meeting where this was proposed initially, there was a lot of pushback, and so they were asking for more feedback from the community. However, the people receiving those emails were already people who have access to internet, and it's just a certain portion of the community. And so when we're talking about a forum to engage the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood, the voices at these forums were primarily business owners and a few social service agencies. And they were widely opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the Chinatown group has quite a list of reasons why they oppose the shelter. Mm-hmm. Tell us the situation from their point of view. Can you do that?
Yeah, my understanding and what I heard at the forums and reading their letter is obviously the best way to get their perspective, but it has a lot to do with crime and safety in the neighborhood. And their reasoning is that it is not safe for residents, for tourists, for people who are frequenting their businesses to walk around the neighborhood because it has the highest rate of crime in Portland of all neighborhoods. And they list, they say they're looking out for people who may come to a shelter, that those are vulnerable people who should not be subjected to being forced to live in an area of such crime. And they also say that there have been a number of incidents that have caused businesses to shut down or close as a result of this high crime rate.
Is there any truth to that? How do you respond to it?
Sister's response is really that if the neighborhood association purports to look out for houseless people, then they need to talk to houseless people to find out if there is a high rate of crime in the neighborhood. Is having a shelter there maybe going to be safer for some people to get them off the street? Or maybe people do want to be in another neighborhood, but don't speak for people without first asking them what they want and what would make them feel most safe.
And this kind of subject of like decentralizing houseless populations, there could be some without even asking them, some loss of benefits for them mm-hmm. in general, and maybe safety in numbers perhaps as well.
Yeah, there's certainly a number of social service agencies in the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood and benefits to that. And the neighborhood association says, why aren't other neighborhoods having to step up and take shelters and open up shelter space in their neighborhoods? And they have a point. We all need to step up across Portland and say, people need options so that they have a place to go inside, so that we can meet their basic needs of shelter, be that in a self-governed village community, be that inside an actual building. And so I would say that there is definitely a point that they have, that it needs to be spread across the city. We all need to be taking responsibility for this problem. However, speaking on behalf of people and telling them they should go elsewhere is certainly not a good solution.
I understood from the document we saw from the association that the city had made some representation that that Chinatown had taken enough of this burden for the city as a whole, and they wouldn't add additional facilities of this type there. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's something called a no net gain agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, I mean, as the city and county pointed out in their response to the neighborhood association's letter, is those are not binding. And I'd also like to say that we are in the midst of a housing crisis, and that means we all need to be doing more. And if we are truly looking at this as a crisis, then plans need to change, and we are in an emergency situation, and that means we need to act like it.
Shannon, do you have any figures on the homeless population in the Chinatown area right now? What's that population like when in numbers and in demographics and orientation? Do you know?
I don't have exact numbers at my fingertips, but I would say it's akin to the other numbers that you would see about the city and the county as a whole. There are people with disabilities disproportionately represented. There are youth, especially LGBTQ youth, are disproportionately represented. We see a lot of elderly folks who are not able to afford their housing on a fixed income. So it's akin to the rest of the city.
I was asking,
in my perspective.
I understand. And I was asking, in terms of the population of homeless people, there would be 200 units added. Is that right? And I wondered what relative impact that would be.
Yeah, and that actually was one of the questions that was asked at the forums, was if we were to have a certain focus of these shelter beds, say it be women or people who have been on the streets for an extended period of time, what would the neighborhood want? And nobody responded to that question. The responses were mostly, we don't want it at all. But that was a question that was being asked. And so I think there's room for people to make their opinion be heard. However, the best people to ask are going to be those on the streets.
So your disagreement with Old Town Chinatown community goes far deeper than just the recent shelter proposal. How does Sisters of the Road relationship to the neighborhood differ from theirs?
Well, I would say that in the past, we have participated in the Old Town Chinatown Neighborhood Association meetings, community association meetings, and we haven't recently, and we're going to start participating again. And we are not members of the association currently, but our community of people in the cafe is primarily people who are not going to be able to afford the fancy hair salons, the really nice hotels, the fancy restaurants. So I would say our representation varies because of that, because of income level.
Shannon, we have a location for the proposed facility. Is there a design for it?
No, not to my knowledge.
What's the next step in the process then?
Well, I believe that is right back at the city and the county, and they've said that they're going to move forward with it, so they need to, the building needs to be made livable. It's currently not, so they'll have to put some money into it.
I see. This will be a renovation of an existing building.
Yeah.
What was the former use of the building?
I do not know.
And how big is it? How many stories?
Don't know. It's big.
It's a big building.
Yeah. It's not a skyscraper, but maybe 3 or 4 stories.
Do you see any special features in it for taking care of special populations or pets or, I don't know, anything?
Yeah. So that was one of the questions they were asking, is could this serve a special population? And one of the things that they have committed to doing is making this a 24-hour shelter. A lot of shelters function so that they close during the day. So people need to leave at 5 a.m. and then get back in line in order to re-enter at 5 p.m. And that's really restrictive. If you want a job that's a 9-to-5, you wouldn't be able to get in line for your shelter and a place to sleep at night. And so having that freedom and autonomy that most people have with their residencies, be it an apartment, a house, is really important for people being able to make decisions about how they are going to move their lives forward.
And how is Old Town changing right now, just with development and everything, the way that all of other parts of Portland are changing?
Yeah. So as we see people, a hotel going in, we see people sleeping on the street outside. There's no longer places inside for them to sleep that are affordable and safe and stable. And the contrast is striking. And I think we've, to a certain extent, it's become normalized here in Portland. We're accustomed to seeing people sleeping outside in different places. But as the skyscrapers shoot up, the people are putting up their tents outside. And so it's ironic that when somebody is building a hotel or replacing affordable housing with their business and then wanting to criminalize people or getting upset that there are people now sleeping outside, there's a direct correlation and there's a relationship there that it goes unexamined.
Shannon, do you want our listeners to be involved, or do you want to, is there some participation that you're looking for here?
Yeah, I mean, we are always looking for participation at Sisters. We want people going to their neighborhood and community association meetings and asking the questions that don't often get asked, like what, how are houseless people being taken into account in different decisions? And why, how has the mayor gone and the city and the county gone to talk to people about the decisions that are affecting them, not just going directly to the neighborhood association? And Chloe Daly is in charge of ONI now and is looking to change and shift the ways that neighborhood associations have formed recently and functioned recently. And so we are looking forward to that. We'd also say that if you want to come down to Sisters and get to know folks, that is one of the first and best ways to really understand your community and how decisions are impacting people living outside and in shelters. So
tell us your address.
We're at 133 Northwest 6th Avenue, so right on the corner of 6th and Davis. Your first time into the cafe, you get a meal and a drink on the house as a way of welcoming people into our space and offering hospitality. And there's also people in every single neighborhood that are sleeping outside. So instead of walking or biking by someone, maybe stop and say, hey, I've noticed you staying here for a while. I go by you every day. How's it going? My name's Shannon.
Do you serve espresso?
We serve amazing coffee. Amazing. Yes, very dark coffee.
Shannon, we have to wrap up. Thanks for joining us here at KBOO today. We wish you well.
Thank you for having me.
In your cause.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.